Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Time now for the Millennial Sports Morning with your host, Zach Williams, and producer, Jonathan Najjar. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream. The Millennial Sports Morning is brought to you by Nissan of Rivergate. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
Oh, another beautiful Saturday morning here on Nashville Sports Radio. And you know what time it is, MSM, Millennial Sports Morning. Of course, you can always join in on the fun and action here on Facebook Live and on Twitter, Periscope, whatever it is you want to be. You just got to search Nashville Sports Radio on all those platforms. And then you also, hey, if you want to get in on the actual show and you want to talk yourself, all you got to do is dial some simple numbers, 615-844-5600. Of course, we're brought to you by Nissan of Rivergate. Hey, a lot of big games this week, right? NFL playoffs. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Aaron Hernandez. Has anybody been watching that documentary? What a roller coaster. I mean, this guy was just the absolute worst person in the entire world. I threw it 180 on everybody. Hey, normally you hear Jonathan Najjar as my producer. It's not today. It's Mr. Jeff. My name's Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
I hear that so right? often.
Well, you should change your name before it happened. That's your fault, Jeff.
Thank you, 22nd Jump Street, for ruining my life.
It's Vine. Vine ruined your life.
Yeah, but yeah. Like every time someone meets me, they're like, "Oh, your name's Jeff." I'm like, "No, it's Jeff. Just Jeff."
Is it J or G?
It's J. G, I always believe, was not the right spelling.
Yeah, no, because that would be Jeff.
J-E-O-F-F. That's not Jeff. I've never believed that in my mind.
Oh,
but
man.
I did see the Aaron Hernandez documentary like you did.
Oh,
It gets real. It's like really, it's strange. Makes you uncomfortable almost.
It's very, somebody who has as much opportunity in life. And, you know, of course, I remember also just watching it all unfold out, because this was right when I was graduating college, when all this was happening and going down, and the trials and all that sort of thing. So I was like right in the meat of all my journalism and classes and projects and stuff. So there was tons and tons of information about this always out, and it just got deeper and deeper. And now you almost kind of look at it now as these documentaries that go on about it. And it's not even just because he's a sports player. You know, he was a sports athlete, and, you know, there's a lot of controversy that goes along
with that. He was very talented.
Very talented. But, you know, you kind of look at it like, man, stop fetishizing this guy who was clearly a terrible person. Why make a documentary about a guy just to show, you know, how crazy he was? Great, we know he's crazy. Murdered 3 people, probably more. Maybe more. Who knows? Who could have gone further? How many people he threatened? And, I mean, it was insane just to hide an insecurity that, you know, maybe publicly he felt like he had to, but still, it's weird to watch that kind of stuff for me, because it's just, you know, you say okay, I'm gonna we gotta watch, and you know, it's something to learn, and maybe the world can be a better place because they check out this thing, and you know, maybe it helps somebody else down the road to not deal with their emotions in this terrible way, and maybe a more healthy way. But then also you think, okay, now we're just showing this guy's face over and over again, and we're showing some of these ambiguous storylines that make no sense, and add some people into the documentary that make no sense into the entirety of the story. And then he's got a terrible mom. I mean, golly, that mom is vile. It's insane. I try not to watch that kind of stuff, just because I feel like, you know, you gotta have respect for the dead, just in general, and that show. It definitely is not respect for the dead. And anybody can try, you know, if you're on Facebook Live, Periscope, wherever you are, let me know how you think about it. But talking Titans, obviously, taking your Titans questions as always. Remember, you call in 615-844-5600. Titans versus Chiefs. I put up a tweet yesterday, Jeff. I don't know if you follow me at all.
What is your Twitter handle for everyone else to know?
Everyone.
I'm just asking for somebody else.
If you don't know my Twitter handle... It's at Zachariah W, ZachariahW, and the tweet was, I put up a couple, I like to throw a Titans tweet out basically every day. I like to just poll the audience as it is, and I ask, you can bring back one past Titans player to play in the team in their prime, so they get to be in their prime, in the AFC Championship game coming up tomorrow, 2:00, who do you bring back? Hashtag Titans. That was the, you know, the finish of it. I just wanted to make sure it was all there. So a lot of people went in on this question and said, you know what? The freak, Javon Kearse, that is the perfect addition to this defense, getting the huge pass rush and just the athleticism on the line, match him up with Simmons, you match him up with Casey and Landry. He's the missing piece that helps win. That was like the unanimous winner in that contest. Not really a contest, but, you know, bring back. A lot of people said Keith Bullock, Mr. Monday Night. They wanted the red gloves back. I saw Keith get in and start talking to some people on it, too. I mean, had a lot of people say Samari Roll. They think Samari Roll would be a great player to
no
stop.
No Dyson.
I haven't seen one. There's been some crazy ones.
He had the Music City Miracle, but he was also a very good wide. He was the number one receiver on that team that went to the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Or at least number two.
Yancey Thigpen was probably the number one. But, yeah, I mean, he was definitely a top target. We'll say that.
He was also the one that got the ball at the 1 yard short.
Yep. A lot of people said Wycheck. You know, a lot of those. I was thinking about it. Who really would, of past Titans players, who would be somebody that can make an impact, like, in their prime? I didn't even say this on Twitter, but a lot of people put in Randy Moss. Okay, he was Titans for, like, a cup of coffee. He did nothing. I'm not including him in this, even though he was a past Titans player. And Randy Moss in his prime is obviously the best wide receiver.
He wasn't in his prime during that time. He retired for, like, a year, I think, and then went to the Niners.
Well, I made it open. It could be any time in their prime, but it's got to be somebody who's played more than just one. Like, he
did
played
he even
like
play
three
a
games.
Season? Yeah, he was hurt most of that
it was
time.
One, yeah.
That was one like season. One of the most forgotten, like, oh, he was on that team kind of guys.
Hey, that's another, if you dig in my Twitter, that was another thing we talked about was who's the most forgotten Titans player.
Oh, it has
in
to be Randy Moss, right?
No. A lot of people remember Randy Moss. And look, now I'm forgetting who it was.
But I meant
Ben,
like,
Hartsock. That's who I had one picked in my head. I said, this is most forgotten Tennessee Titans player. It was Ben Hartsock.
I was thinking more like stars that were on the team that were like, oh, that guy was on our team for a bit. Like, guys that are like well-known in the league.
No, it's just forgotten as hold.
Okay.
As a whole. But, yeah, so, you know, I was thinking, though, who would really be a great addition? And there was a couple of people that went in. I made one joke. I said Billy Bullock. I don't really know that. But one player I really think, and a lot of people agree, well, not agreed, but they said it, and they were on board with it, and they were going in and saying that his name a lot, and that would be Rob Baronis. Rob Baronis for the Tennessee Titans, a confident kicker, somebody who's constantly able to kick. We don't know a lot about Greg Joseph right now. We don't know what he's going to be able to do because hasn't attempted a kick besides extra points. And also, you know, you come out and I know.
Wasn't it like week 15 last time the Titans kicked a field goal?
Week 13.
Week 13.
Yeah, attempted a field goal. Either 13 or 14. But this is the other thing, too. It's, you know, Mike Vrabel comes out this week and says that he's not worried about the kicking game at all because extra points are still field goal attempts. And he's 11 of 11 right now, which is true, doing a great job and what he needs to do. It's just been so funny to see this Titans playoffs where the kicking game has become completely moot. And that was easily, for the Tennessee Titans, the number one problem in throughout the season that was talked about the most besides the quarterback switch. Besides the quarterback switch, it was easily the kicking game. You go through all those kickers all through the regular season, and then you think, all right, it's playoffs time. It's the biggest moment for this team in like not only this decade, but in the past decade, really. And then here you go. Kicking game is absolutely not relevant. Every time they get into the red zone, they score a touchdown. That's where this Titans team is right now. And I wonder, coming up against this Kansas City Chiefs, defense very porous. Of course, the last time this team's met, the Tennessee Titans got the better of it on a couple fluky special team plays. I don't know. It's just there's something about that. If you keep that in your back pocket, if you're a Titans fan and whatever, if you're a Chiefs fan even, just remember the real reason why the Chiefs lost. Obviously, they didn't score enough points. Let's just, you know, any idiot out there is going to say that. But the other side of that, there was the Colquitt mishandled the snap. He tries to throw it. If anybody remembers that, it was supposed to be a field goal that would have put them up by, at the time, put them up by six. And then they miss another field goal coming up after that, which would have put them over by nine. And then the Chiefs or the Titans scoring on that final drive would have been moot because they would end up scoring. So you start looking at it in that way and you think, okay, now the special team was very relevant against the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Titans now in Arrowhead. And then let's all flash back, 3 years? The last time the Kansas City Chiefs Chiefs and the Titans played off in the playoffs. Titans got the better of that game. They went up early. The Chiefs went up early, and then Marcus
21-0.
21-0.
Not just up early. They were up by – it was in the fourth quarter they came back, if I'm not mistaken.
Derrick Henry has a gigantic game. Marcus Mariota creates a magical playoff moment, throwing and catching a touchdown, all in the same play. And then also you have go one more game before that in a regular season matchup. It was Tyreek Hill's first breakout season. I believe it was his rookie season. And the Kansas City Chiefs and the Titans meet in Arrowhead. It ends up being like a negative four game in Arrowhead, one of the classic cold December games. It was right before Christmas. Brian Suckup kicks a game winner, actually misses the game winner on the first kick, and then ends up hitting the game winner on the second kick. They tried to ice him, and if they hadn't iced him, the Chiefs would have won that game, but they end up icing him, and then the Chiefs end up losing. He even says it's like kicking a block of concrete. He knew he just had to give it all his foot because that first kick, he basically broke his foot because of how hard the ball was. It's just there's a lot of subtlety of the kicking game right now for the Tennessee Titans versus the Kansas City Chiefs in recent years.
Have you noticed that when people ice the kicker, it's usually like benefiting the kicker rather
every
than...
Every kicker in the NFL says, I like it when they ice. And I would too.
Practice kick.
Well, you either take the practice kick, and that's something I always talk about too, is that when they ice it, if I'm the special teams, if I'm the center or the snapper, and if I'm the holder and I'm the kicker, I'm getting together and I'm saying, no matter what, we run through the kick. Even if they blow the whistle, we run through the kick. Now, I think there are rules of how quickly the timeout's taken before they can actually run it. But if it's right up against the whistle, I'm running the kick no matter what. Mm. So I've always wondered why sometimes you see them not take the kick. Just take the kick.
Yeah, I don't think you could get a penalty off. Well, depending on the time frame. But I think
it's until the official runs in front of the ball. So right. That's how they stop the field of play. They run in front of the snap like that. So if they're not there, snap it, kick it, let it go, and regardless, make it or miss, you know then, okay, I got to make this adjustment.
But you notice coaches always wait until like they're right about to snap it, though. They always go, wait, now call it. They're right next to the ref, ready to call that timeout like at the last possible second.
Yeah.
Maybe to waste the foot, maybe waste the kick or something, maybe have that in their mind.
Well,
I'm not entirely sure.
A lot of it, too, is and I see this. And so I do, obviously, I do the play. If you follow me, I do play by play for the Hendersonville Commandos. And this season was probably the most I've seen coaches try to ice kickers. A lot of high school football, especially in public, you know, in the public school systems, you don't see a lot of kicking. You don't see a whole lot of kicking. But this season was like filled with it. And it was every time I talked to one of the coaches after a game, one of the opposing coaches. And he said the reason why he likes holding it, he ends up not. But what he does is he makes a big show. He makes it seem like he's going to. He brings the official over. He gets, you know, he does everything he can to make it seem like. He doesn't, though, to try
Mind
to get,
game.
Get in the head. You know, that's what they're trying to do. So a lot of that is that. They try to do a mental swab almost. But with that, though, I think this the Chiefs and the Titans, the special teams, just the storylines that's been coming up, like I'm almost worried that the special teams really will be a giant factor in this game. You look at the weather, it's going to be cold. I haven't even looked at the weather. I just know it's Kansas City in January.
I'm on it.
It's going to be like, I think it's already snowed out. I've been watching some of the other media members that are there right now. Mickey Ryan, I think, has been having a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles session trying to get into Kansas City.
Well, tomorrow it's going to be sunny with a high of 20 and a low of 6.
Yeah,
so it's going to be sunny, so there's not going to be snow. I'm actually kind of surprised by that.
Still, that it's cold. That's cold.
Oh, yeah, cold.
So special teams, it's just going to be really interesting to see how the special teams play out because there's been such a storyline for the Tennessee Titans just through this season alone about special teams, right? Mm-hmm. It's just nobody's wondered who the kicker was going to be. Then you get into the playoffs, and Derrick Henry's just running the ball down the throat to everybody, getting in the red zone. He's been unstoppable. But then you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Titans in recent years, special teams has had a huge, dependent on the outcome of these games recently. So it's just going to be really interesting. Of course, at the end of the show, we're only doing an hour today, by the way. So no second hour today, but we'll start back all the 2 hours from the weeks going on until infinity. So whatever it is you got to get in today, go ahead and get the phone lines and all that. We'll give a Titans Kansas City Chiefs score I don't know, what's the word, prediction?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But it's not a it's not something that I like doing. I think it's really annoying how you hear people in the media or just people in general, whatever, whether they got a mic in front of their face or not, I don't care. But people that say, predicting scores, it makes no sense. I don't understand why anybody does it. I hate those people. Those people are the most annoying people in the world because they're scared to just say it because they don't want to be wrong. Because more chances than not, you're going to be wrong if you're saying a 24-17 score. If you're saying that to the penny, you know, it's not going to happen a lot. I say it, I'm usually wrong. I don't bet. I don't ever bet because I know if I bet, I'm definitely wrong.
I actually bet at the beginning of the season, 75-1 Titans winning the Super Bowl. Like, you know, they had the bets of like who wants to. And I was like, you know what?
How much you put on it?
Gosh, I have it in my wallet. Hold on. I actually have the ticket itself.
Regardless. I mean, even if you put like
it was 75-1 odds. And I was like, you know what? That's a good thing. They were talented. I think they could go far if they have the ability. And I will win $3,700 if I.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, if you're wanting to rob this man and his ticket, the studios are located.
Whoa! But, well, you got it. Well, it was, I got it at the Hard Rock Casino in Tahoe.
Oh, so well. If you find yourself in the Tahoe area, and then maybe there's a chance for you to get some money.
But it was funny because like my whole family was like, let's bet on teams just for fun. Like, we're here, why not? And I was like, okay, let's look at the odds. I think the highest one was like 100-1. I think it was the Dolphins or maybe the
probably the Dolphins or Cardinals.
The Jets were pretty high up there too. And my dad actually said, hey, maybe the Jets could get it because they were like signing those guys, and it sounded like they might have had a shot. Like, I'm not saying they're winning the East or anything like that, but I'm like, they could sneak into a wild card spot, and obviously that didn't happen.
Well, you know, and just we're gonna give a score prediction at the end. I just the Titans, you know, I'll be honest too, I am 100% in the boat of if I say the Titans are gonna lose, I think I'm like 8-0 in the season that they win. I go through my Twitter every Sunday. I tweet, you know, give me your final score predictions and all that kind of stuff. And everybody, and then I put mine right before the game starts. And I'm almost 100% positive. If somebody wants to go through my Twitter and check that out,
you better say they win.
I'm pretty sure every time I say they lose, they end up winning.
Oh, yeah. You mean backwards.
Yeah.
You mean,
so if I say the Titans are going to lose, they end up winning. And it's even last week. So on the show, I said the Titans were going to lose to the Ravens. Before that, I said the Titans were going to lose to the Patriots, not the Panthers. The Patriots, and it just go on and so forth. So
you're looking at it realistically, though. They had a win in Foxborough and in Baltimore to get here. That's very unlikely to win those two back to back, at least.
The Titans have the talent, and now that's being showcased. And if anybody's been following me through the past 2 years or however long Derrick Henry has been on the Tennessee Titans, I have just absolutely preached adamantly that this team does not matter who the quarterback is. The team matters if Derrick Henry is getting his touches. And now the entire national media is seeing the truth of which I've been speaking.
Four years.
So the first year, DeMarco Murray was just stretching his legs out, letting him, you know, have some time. But 3 years, really, when he started getting the balls, when this kind of started. And
you look at it now, it's kind of a steal. He got picked in the second round, 45th overall. It's kind of a steal.
He was a Heisman.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you expect, like, Heisman to be first round, but everyone saw him as too big, too burly, too. He's a huge human being. He's a monster of a man.
Simply, when I saw him at training camp last year, and it was the first time I'd seen him in person and on field view, you know, just right next to him, we were covering it down there. Easily the biggest, fastest thing I've ever seen. Like, it was, if he wanted to chase down anybody that was on that field, if you took all weapons off the earth, like Derrick Henry, if it's a fight between everyone in the world, it's like the top five guys are like two guys in Norway, one Russian, and then Derrick Henry and like The Rock. Like that's who's finishing in the world of top five. Like it's easily, like he was running so fast and he was so big. And these videos, like you see the videos of him running and stuff. And right now the big popular thing is watching him do the stiff arms and everything.
To Earl Thomas, especially.
And he is just easily like it doesn't give him credit how big and fast he really is. It's insane. And ever since I saw that at training camp, I said, okay, this guy needs to just get the ball and you just let him do his thing. And now that's coming out. So it wasn't so much that those games, yes, they were hostile environments. They are hard teams to play. The Ravens, I think the Patriots honestly were a harder team to play than the Ravens. And the reason why is that Lamar Jackson, even though he had a crazy stat line.
508 yards, I believe, total.
Crumbled. He got, when it came to the pressure situation, majority of their times lost, they lost the ball in like the Titans, like 20. I think the average was that every time they lost
the pass
ball.
Rush was great. Like, pass it was, rush was, it was great. On him almost every time.
And he was still able to run for, I mean, the guy's a freak. He was still able to run for 100 and some odd yards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it, I think the Patriots game was more of the wake up call to everyone that, okay, Derrick Henry takes over games in ways that. That is not how it is. I mean, the NFL, it's such a pass happy league. Everybody says that, it's passing the ball. That's how offenses are made now. Sean McVay has changed the system, and that's what everybody needs to do. And then Derrick Henry says, "Hold my beer. I'm going to run over every single person, stack the box with 8+, and I'm going to run it 100 times, and I'm going to get a 785 yards on those 100 times with 8 people in the box." Think about that. Eight grown men.
Well, he's bigger than the guys in the box.
But NFL players.
I know.
NFL, not even just grown men. This is, now you're talking like, weed out the 0.00001%. The most elite athletes you can have in the entirety of the world. I don't, CrossFitters, eat my shorts. I don't care. It's NFL athletes. They are easily
the
most.
Have you seen their workout tapes?
I mean, this is the cream of the crop. And Derrick Henry mulls over them like, just like he did in Yulee when you saw him as a high schooler, mowing over high schoolers.
Did you see his stats in high school?
Insane. Like, 1,200 yards.
Yeah. It was something ridiculous. Yeah. He had like a 500-yard game one time and stuff like that. Like, he was a man playing with children, basically.
He still is.
Yeah.
He still is. And so, It's just interesting, and it's a tasty matchup against the Chiefs. Hey, we got to hit our first break, so when we come back, we're going to keep talking Titans. I saw a couple questions come across the Facebook Lives and Periscope Lives and whatnot. Remember, you can call in as well, 615-844-5600. Back after this right here on MSM.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers, direct mail. We've got, at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can reach us at print@sirspeedymusiccity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
NFL fans, go to NFLShop.com today and gear up for the playoffs. Looking for the perfect gift or just gearing up for the 2020 playoffs? NFL Shop is the ideal place to get the gear the players wear on the field and championship merchandise. Choose from the largest assortment for all 32 teams anywhere. NFLShop.com is your source for the best selection of officially licensed NFL products. To shop now, go to NFLShop.com today.
The George Blaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Blaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Blaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Blaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
We're talking Titans, of course, right now on MSM, Millennial Sports Mornings. Remember, you can always join us here every Saturday, 10 to 12, but today 10 to 11, so that's what we're doing today. Had a question come through on Periscope, at Jones Davy. You know, it's always fun to read Twitter handles. At Jones Davy. Who you like, Niners or Packers? So, obviously, the other game that's going on tomorrow, that's the late game. You know, the Packers and the Niners, it's a great matchup. I think, first of all, I think a lot of people are lucky, and this is as a whole, as an entirety for the NFL in this playoffs, I think a lot of people are lucky that Russell Wilson didn't make it past last round, and that's just because I really think the Seahawks were a time bomb, and the Packers were just the right team to break down the Seahawks as a whole. So I just wanted to get that out first. Because they were my favorite from the NFC, easily, just because of Russell Wilson. I mean, everybody talks about, you know, the Lamar Jackson being the MVP, and I think he is going to be the deserving MVP, but there was always the caveat of, okay, but Russell Wilson is playing with nobody out there, basically, and he is winning games, scoring high points, having crazy stats. He's doing it all himself. It's a different defense. You know, it's crazy. But he's not in it anymore, so it doesn't matter. Niners and Packers, that game is in San Francisco. So obviously San Francisco gets the lean their way, but it is still Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers just as Russell Wilson has been playing with nobody for majority of the season. Now he's got Devontae Parker back. Devontae Parker had a great season as well, though. But Devontae Adams back, and now he's healthy 100%, and he had a great game against the Seahawks. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one to watch. It's going to be really interesting to see how these games go. Even though people don't want to maybe admit it, and they don't want to say, like, oh, you know, these are the deserving teams that need to be in the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship. The AFC Championship gives you the stylistic matchup of a dream. It is a high-flying, powerful offense over the air against an offense that is ground and pound and will wear you down the entire time and bend don't break defenses. Titans get the edge on defense, obviously, against the Kansas City defense. Kansas City just hasn't been as great on the run.
Losing Dee Ford was a big loss for them. When they traded him to the Niners for a second round pick, I feel like that was a big hole in that team.
Frank Clark, though, came in and throughout the majority of the season, he wasn't the guy that he is, but now that he's in the playoffs and he's getting used to the system, he's really taken giant leaps for this team. And if you really average out those two athletes, they're pretty similar off the same edge rush. They do a lot of similar stuff on the ground. I mean, yeah, Dee Ford was kind of strange when they traded him, but so yeah, the Tennessee Titans, Kansas City, they're a fun stylist. Now on the NFC side, these are the two deserving teams, 100%, it's 1 and 2, right? That ended up needed to be in the NFC Championship. They had to have this is 13-3 each teams. San Francisco, obviously, Jeff's a big Niners fan. If you were able to see him on camera right now, he is a
I'm wearing a Niner hat and a Niner jacket and Niner sweats.
Basically all 49ers right
I'm
now.
I'm from California. I'm not a bandwagon, just FYI. I just have to say that.
It's a bandwagon. You can all tell.
Oh, okay. My grandfather went to the 1971 NFC Championship game, and I have the program to prove it, sir.
But the hoodie still has the tag on it right there. Oh, look, I got him to look,
too. No, I didn't. Okay, you got me.
But Green Bay and San Francisco, it's hard for me to go against Aaron Rodgers. It just really is. And it really, let me say this. It's hard for me to go against experience in a playoff. And that was why when the Titans played the Patriots, I was a lot of the way in thought the Patriots are going to win because Tom Brady in January playing football. You know, it's in the playoffs playing football.
It's like pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving. It just happens.
It's everything that has to happen for teams. And so with that being said, these two teams already played each other once this season. The 49ers got the better of the Packers, 37-8, and that was in San Francisco. So I'm you know, it's hard. It's hard for me to go against Aaron Rodgers, but I am going to go against Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think that's going to happen twice, though. I understand some people are like, oh, it's going to happen again. I don't think the score will. No, that's what I meant. Yeah. I don't think that – because the Niners just tore them apart on defensive side especially, and the pass rush, like, they had no answer for. And I think just everything, they weren't expecting that much pressure. They weren't expecting, like, Kyle Shanahan, for all intents and purposes, is a great offensive-minded guy. And that one touchdown to Kittle, he just knew exactly where the safety was going to be and just cut the other way, perfect throw, and right into the end zone. I don't think that's going to happen twice. I think that's one of those things, like, they prepared for this one game just based off, like, what they've seen the rest of the season. Now the Packers have footage of all this stuff, like, okay, we got to stop this. They're going to do this because we used to do this. We got to change up our defensive scheme, maybe change up our offensive scheme. They got to change up a lot to beat the Niners.
A lot of it that happened in that first matchup when they played each other was the fact that Aaron Jones was irrelevant. I mean, he averaged 2.9 yards a carry.
Look at Delvin Cook last week against the Niners. He had, what, 18 yards rushing?
Yeah.
And then against the Saints, he had, what, 100-some-odd yards rushing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where it's going to be. Aaron Jones has to step up. It can't be Jamal Williams leading the rushing attack for the Green Bay Packers. They really do. They live and die by their running back. And Packers, the benefit, obviously, of the Packers, though, they have Aaron Rodgers, they have Davante Adams. Aaron Jones has now stepped up as one of the top five running backs in the NFL with just how pure athleticism, what he's able to do, and has a nose for the end zone. But once again, that San Francisco 49ers, they got the rookie of the year on defense in Nick Bosa, and they're going to cause problems on the run game.
A big thing is every single 49er is healthy. They're 53-man roster. They have no injury reports. They didn't have Quan Alexander against the Packers. They didn't have, I think they had D4 playing limited against the Packers. Mm-hmm. And now they have Quan Alexander, who's a great defensive pass guy.
A lot of speed for the linebacker position.
And they have now Jaquassi Tartt back. And still Richard Sherman, still an elite top five corner in the NFL right now. And this team just got even healthier. They got even better.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Well, that's, you know, health. This is the part of the season too where you expect injuries and everything like that because it's just you played this many weeks now. I mean, what are we? This would be technically week 20, right? As it is throughout the.
Yes.
It's a lot of injuries happen, and having a full team, full healthy team, is a big part of it. So health always plays in. I mean, that's the same thing. You look at baseball. Baseball, if you can find a fully healthy team all the way through, you're normally,
that's 162 games.
A lot of time, and that's why it's getting into those October games and those series become so big with health just because. But I think in this game it's going to be the 49ers. They've just been playing so well. They're playing at home, and also there's the 49ers have never lost a Super Bowl that they played in Miami.
Knocking on wood right now.
Was it four times, I believe?
First one, they played in Miami against the Dolphins. That was at Stanford Stadium. They played in Miami, I believe, against Cincinnati one time, and they played maybe against the Chargers.
Yeah,
I know they played in Miami.
I know they're undefeated for sure in Miami, so it's just something about Miami Super Bowls. Brings out the best in the 49ers. But, Aaron Rodgers is not going to just go away quietly. That's 100% true. Aaron Rodgers is not just going to say, all right, you know, 49ers got us. We'll see you guys next year. RELAX, you know, relax. It's going to be a shootout. I think this is where you're going to see a game that Aaron Jones is going to become a big piece for the Green Bay Packers as a whole. But past that, it's going to be the Aaron Rodgers show, which it needs to. It needs to be the Aaron Rodgers show just because it is his team. He owns that team. That's his team. He's got to perform. And so in the playoffs, you know, that's where Aaron Rodgers has to shine, and I think he is going to shine. Last week, 16 of 27, 243 and two touchdowns. Of course, now Aaron Jones, 21 carries, 62 yards, and two touchdowns himself. I mean, against the Seahawks defense, that isn't, you know, as stingy as going to be a 49ers defense, but they still have some upfront monsters. Jadeveon Clowney, I'm looking at you. You know, this is a team that's going to have to rely on Aaron Rodgers to win the game, but it's going to need the complementary pieces. I don't think it happens. I think the 49ers get the win. I think they end up doing it at home. They move on to a Super Bowl, and we're going to see a top rushing defense against a possible top rushing team in the Tennessee Titans in the Super Bowl. I really think that might happen.
Back to the Niners undefeated in Miami. They won the two Bengals and the Chargers, so I was correct.
Okay, yeah. So that's the, you know, the 49ers love playing in Miami football, or Miami Super Bowl football, that is.
Well, it happens so often in Miami. I mean, when doesn't, like, it's, Florida's like the, probably
weather,
the,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's like, I think the state of Florida is the place with the most Super Bowls.
Every team needs to just have a dome, and then that way, and also tons of hotels around, because that's obviously Nashville's problem, is they, one, don't have a dome. Two, they don't have enough hotels to support something of that large size.
I think the stadium's too old as well, I have to say. The
stadium is, yeah. Well, it's not. If they're putting old, a dome on, if they're going to put a dome on, it'd probably get new. I would say they would renovate some things inside.
They would have to, like, honestly rebuild that thing from scratch, I think. Because it's a giant eyesore. If you make a dome, you need to, like, reset the stands, the seating capacity, and all that kind of stuff.
Stadiums in Nashville don't do well. I know you're new here, but go check out Vandy's Dudley Stadium.
I've seen it.
And that is the – they still have the pee troughs. I mean, that's how many – they still dump ice. They still dump ice where you go pee. Like, it's insane that they still have that.
It's kind of – it's gross.
Hey, guys. Always, of course, this show is brought to you by Nissan of Rivergate. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle and you are looking for the best prices, the best people to work with, and just the best car buying situation, because at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. They just want the best experience. Then you need to go check out my friends over at Nissan of Rivergate, 1550 Gallatin Pike North. That's 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, just about a mile away or so from the Rivergate Mall area. Everybody's been there, but you can go check them out online, see all the deals they have right now, even take a virtual tour of the lot, and you can talk to somebody on the website as well, nissanofrivergate.com. Then you can give them a call, 615-865-7220. That's 615-865-7220. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary Valet parking is always available.
Crank up the fun, Nashville. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show is coming January 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Music City Center. Three gigantic days of fun and savings on the new RV of your dreams. See the all-new RV models and save thousands with factory incentives, huge dealer discounts, and low financing with special RV Super Show factory savings. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. Tour hundreds of new RVs, including motorhomes, pull behind, pop-up, toy haulers, fifth wheel, luxury RVs, campers, and conversion vans. Then choose the one to start enjoying the great outdoors with your family and friends. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. Friday, noon to late. Saturday, 10 to late. Sunday, 11 to 5. Adults, $10. Kids, 12 and under, free. Visit bkproductions.biz. Download a $2 off coupon, bring it to the show, and save. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. January 24th, 25th, and 26th. At the Music City Center. Produced by BK Productions.
Nissan of River. Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at NissanOfRivergate.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and we are just milling about here in the off-season. But don't you worry. Racing is on the horizon with the Rolex 24, the Clash, duels at Daytona, qualifying. Oh, it's coming up right around the corner. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
MSN brought to you by Nissan of Rivergate. Zach Williams, always here with you every Saturday, 10 to 12, but not today. Not today. We will be here till 11, so enjoy it. Jonathan Najjar, usually who I would say behind the boards, but no, it is Jeff today. Because
are you going to do that every single time?
It's going to be hard not to. I'm not going to lie. Jonathan is in Taiwan. That is where Jonathan is right now. His wife, her family's from there, and they're visiting family in Taiwan. And I told him, I said, you know what you need to do? Because he, if you follow the show, you understand who he is. Big Vols fan. I said, you need to go there and get a video of you and bring all your Vols stuff. Because he's like in the heart of Taiwan. Like, it's very Taiwanese there. He needs to get all his Vols stuff and pass it out to all his family, because that's his family now. And he needs to get a video of all of them singing Rocky Top. And I said it would blow up across the world, because if there's one thing that stands true, a test of time, is Vols Twitter will accept anybody who wears a Titans hat, Vols hat, and then also sings Rocky Top. And then that way you could say Taiwan is, you know, Vol capital of...
I can just see him trying to hand them stuff and they giving him looks like, what is this? What are you doing?
Yeah, you just got to push past that, you know. Just give it to him, let him, and then sing Rocky Top with all of them. That would be, you know, the biggest thing. He's not going to do it, though. He said he would. I doubt it. If he does, it would be great. But he's going to be gone for 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks, like
I'm
I said.
I'm here for 3 weeks, buddy.
Like I said, 3 weeks. He will be gone, and so we'll have Jeff here. We might have a special guest host in next week with me to bring in some fun and energy, somebody that a lot of people like. Won't mention it yet. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun time, so stick with us. Even though Jonathan's not going to be here, it's still the same show, so don't worry. So we talked about Titans, and obviously we talked about the 49ers, gave our picks for those that game. Haven't gave picks yet for the Tennessee Titans, but there is a huge UFC fight tonight. A lot of people don't maybe – you know, around here, UFC isn't – as prevalent as it would be in, you know, out west. I mean, even you're from California. UFC is pretty big out in the western part.
Yeah,
I mean, especially Las Vegas. I mean, that's where all the fights happen. And UFC 246 tonight, of course, McGregor is returning to take on Cowboy Cerrone. That fight is a dream fight for anybody that has been following either of these fighters. But it's a, you got Holly Holm fighting in this card. You got Pettis fighting in this card. Pettis, of course, fought here in Nashville for the UFC Fight Night back in, when that was, like June, July. It was right after the draft is when it happened. So that guy's got a little bit of a Nashville. He ended up shocking Wonderboy Thompson in that fight. Really, really excited to see this fight happen tonight. And the reason why is because the matchup is just what's going to happen, which is really strange because this fight is going to be between Donald Cerrone and Conor McGregor. It's going to be a stand-up battle. You're going to see kicks. You're going to see punches, but it's not going to go to the ground. It's going to be the opposite of when McGregor took on Khabib and they got in their fight, and it was just Khabib manhandling him on the ground eventually and just wearing him down like everybody has. But it's going to be a stand-up. It's going to be this fight's not going to decision. I do not see it going to decision. It's going to be a TKO. It's going to be a KO of some sort. I think McGregor's probably going to win it. But what's really shocking about this fight as a whole is the amount of hype that is not happening. Normally, a Conor McGregor fight is blown out of the absolute water. I mean, you go back even just to Diaz McGregor 1, and that one was just the hype of that one going into that fight was huge. And that was right at the pinnacle of McGregor, you know, doing whatever. I'd like to apologize to absolutely no one. You know, that was the whole, that was all that going into that fight. And then he ends up losing to Diaz, and then the second fight coming back. It's really strange to see this fight not be talked about as much. Because if you really look at it, this is the fight to get casual MMA fans. This isn't for your hardcore fans who have been following. This is for casual fans. This isn't going to be on the ground, a lot of rolling, a lot of jiu-jitsu. No, this is going to be punching, blood, fighting, knocking out. This is where the casual fans would come on. And you can, if you're the UFC, you can gain a lot of new viewers. You can get a lot more people buying ESPN Plus and buying UFC Fight Pass and things like that to get this fight, because that's what this fight is going to be. It's going to be a bloodbath, and McGregor's going to make a big deal out of it. But even in the presser, you've been hearing McGregor. He said, you know, there's going to be blood that's spilled, but it will not be bad blood. I mean, that's insane for McGregor. You look back even when he was doing the boxing with Floyd Mayweather, and then his last fight with Habib, he was throwing chairs at buses and stuff, and it was getting arrested all the time. I mean, it was out of the water.
I think after the Khabib fight, the brawl that happened, I think he was like, okay, maybe I should tone it down just a tad when it comes to fighting. Obviously not outside the octagon, but his trash talking caused that brawl. Well, Khabib got really hot and started jumping the cage, and that was one of the craziest things I've ever seen watching a fight.
And it got a lot of eyes to it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone was covering it. Like, how do you not cover it? Everyone,
exactly.
Like, guys jumped in the octagon and started punching McGregor randomly. It was riot.
You got to look at it from the UFC's point of view and say, okay, here's a fight that, here's a guy in Conor McGregor that we know 100% has the X factor of gaining media notoriety.
Draw.
He just talks. He gets people to watch him. He's a millionaire, multimillionaire with his whiskey company and everything, even just outside of fighting. And I'm saying, if I'm the UFC, if I'm Dana White, I'm like, I am 100% in on making this welterweight fight the biggest fight of 2020, even though it really has no real significance. It's just a fight that people have been wanting for a long time because they're so similar in their fight styles. But it's just everything about it is so strange that it's not being hyped up. And I think a lot of this, one, it shows the lack of marketing knowledge the UFC really has, because they're missing out on a giant boat of gaining more money. I think that's easily the biggest thing. It shows the UFC. And then two, it shows how good McGregor is at marketing, because it's not being blown up, because normally when it's getting blown up, it's because he's doing it. He's promoting it all over the place.
He's good.
He's doing the Donald Trump effect of, let me say something crazy and all the cameras turn to me, and then we talk about the fight, and then everybody pays attention to him, and he doesn't have to do anything. And that's his throwing the chair into a bus window. It got everybody to pay attention to it, and then the fight broke out. And then that was what sold the tickets right then and there. I think the main thing we're seeing is that, one, UFC not good at marketing their own sport. I really don't think the UFC is good at it at all. But two, I think we're seeing a different Conor McGregor. This is a Conor McGregor. One, he wants to win the fight, so he is zoned in, which, and if you watch any of his pressers, which I've watched almost all of them, I think every bit of it. And if you've been following McGregor, he is dialed in like he hasn't been dialed in before. Like, this is the most on point Conor McGregor, not only just the way he's controlling himself, but also the way that his body is right now, everything. He wants to come in, he wants to make a splash knockout in the first round, and then get back to his title. I think that's what it is. Two, you're seeing a rich guy now. The early Conor McGregor was not, you know, the multimillionaire. This was and if there's one thing that the UFC proves, is that comfort and money do not go hand in hand with success in the UFC and beating up a man. Because, you know, Conor McGregor was a plumber. That's what he was doing before he got started and got into, you know, into the UFC and everything. So he was fighting for every dollar. He was trying, you know, that's why he blew up and was doing all his crazy antics and fighting the way he was fighting and trying to get the money. He was trying to get money. He was fighting for his life. He was fighting to pay for his family and everything like that. He has a son now, and that's just not there anymore. Because, yeah, okay, Conor McGregor loses. So what? The dude's still a multimillionaire. If he loses, who cares? He was still a two-time champion. He had to double belt reign. Like, who cares? You can't take away the history of what Conor McGregor did. He's got his money. He's comfortable. So that might be the other side that we're seeing here, is that Conor McGregor is not that same fighter that you saw when he was trying to claw his way to the top. He's at the top, man. He's at the top. He went to the very top of the mountain, and then he built on top of the mountain. He really did. He went out and started and did the crossover. He boxed. It's insane. And this is just not the same McGregor that we're seeing anymore. But I think for that reason, Donald Cerrone should be, and Donald Cerrone's just here for a good time. Everybody said it, and if you listen, I listen to a lot of MMA podcasts and things like that. A lot of people are just that are friends with Cerrone. Joe Rogan, one of the biggest ones, right? He even talks about he just wants to see him get paid, and that's what this is. It's a payday for Donald. He's going to make money. He's going to make a lot of money. So that's, you know, it's going to be fun. I think the winner of this fight is easily McGregor. I think he does it in the first round. I think he drops Cerrone, just like Cerrone in his last fight against Volkanovski. Ooh, was it Volkanovski? I'm trying to remember who it was he fought in his last round. It may not have been Volkanovski. It may have been the guy. Oh, man, I'm forgetting who his last fight was.
I'm on it.
Yeah, find that for me. I'm pretty sure it was he got dropped early. It was Gaethje. It was Justin Gaethje. That's who it was. So he got knocked, I think it was round one with 4 minutes. So it was like 50 seconds left or something like that, 40 seconds left in the fight. Tell me if I'm right on that one.
I'm still looking it up. Yeah.
I think I'm right. It's going to be kind of in that wheelhouse. It's been a lot of losses. He lost to Ferguson before that. I'm pretty sure Tony Ferguson. He blew his nose and his eye popped out basically because of the hit. So it's, you know, it's a whole thing, but
it's a great visual.
Yeah, it's not though. Did you see it?
I've heard.
So he broke his nose. They say when you break your nose, don't blow, because when you broke your nose, you have all the air passageways and such that go through your it's your sinuses. And so when he broke his nose, and if anybody hasn't seen this, just go look up Donald Cerrone blowing nose.
It was in the first round, 4 minutes, 18 seconds.
Yep. Yep. Hey, I was right. I was like 40 something seconds left in the fight in the first round. Yeah, Justin Gaethje. So when you break your nose like that, they say just don't blow your nose, because what happens is what happened to Donald Cerrone. He blows his nose and his eye literally, and when I say it's a skin all around the eye, and all the sinuses blow up as well. So his eye just like popped out. So it looked like he had a black eye. It looked like his eye completely swelled up. So they had to stop that fight. That was that Tony Ferguson fight, which stylistically, Tony Ferguson, a guy who gets absolutely no due in the UFC. And you talk about, they say Jorge Masvidal kind of gets the shaft. Tony Ferguson gets the shaft. That guy wins fights in spectacular fashion. And then also he doesn't get the big name fights. Like you saw Colby Covington and Usman go at it because of all the online beef and everything and the persona that Colby Covington went on. That should have been Ferguson's fight. But because Ferguson doesn't do the whole online beef stuff and he doesn't do anything like that, it breaks everything. Hey, we got to hit a break. Final break of the show. If you want to get in, 615-844-5600. Back over this after MSM.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, pizzas, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches. Plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
3, 2, 1.
You can enjoy the new year with more games, more chances to win, and even more fun from the Tennessee Lottery. And you can play any way you like. Play quick and win big with instant games. Or try drawing-style games that pack a big money punch. So don't drop the ball. Make a resolution to put a little more cash and a whole lot of fun in your pocket today with the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it, folks! Feast your eyes on the most fascinating thing you've ever seen! The new special edition Jumbo Bucks! That's right! Extra! Extra! Hot off the press, these special edition Jumbo Bucks games are loaded with prizes and sweeping the state! Hurry! Get them while you can!
Hot off the press, special edition Jumbo Bucks instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
His favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine. Magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. Whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, with an impressive array of wine and spirits to choose from. How many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? When you ask for help, they know less than you do. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. Looking for gift ideas? They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way.
All right, boys and girls, that's going to do it for today's episode of Millennial Sports Mornings. Real quick, Cam McDonald on Twitter asked, Seton Hall -4 to St. John's. Yeah, I take it. Seton Hall's playing great. The Big East is good. You can always worry about that Red Storm, though, so be worried about that. But I take it, man. Titans, Chiefs. I'm going to give the Chiefs the edge. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I really do. I think it's going to be a 35-21 game.
So should we give the win to Titans now?
Who knows? I really think the Chiefs are going to have a better of that one, guys. But, hey, we'll see you next week. We will do it again 2 hours next week right here on Nashville Sports Radio. See you, Jeff.
See ya.